It's a delight, it's an honor to be back with you again tonight. We've enjoyed a wonderful day together, all the fellowship that we enjoyed this morning, being able to eat together. And Brother Justin looked over and whispered at me at lunchtime, "These brethren know how to cook." And I'll say amen to that. You can tell by looking at me, I'm a person who knows how to enjoy good food, and you have done well. I appreciate also Brother Justin. He has been an excellent communicator, giving me the dates, the times, the order of services, all the information I needed, and the encouragement that he has provided. I appreciate him so much, and I know you do as well, and you appreciate the fact that he's preaching the gospel to you each and every week. You've had some great men occupy this pulpit. I just learned tonight, and I guess I've known it, but Brother Houston Stiles preceded me a few years earlier at Bobby Branch, such a good, humble man. And then Brother Randall Gann attends services with us now, and he told me the other night, he said, "Those are some really good folks out there." He said, "You be sure you treat them well." So I told him I would definitely do so. My goal here this week is to preach the gospel. I enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the friendship, enjoy the reminiscing, but I've got an obligation. I've got a responsibility. And I've got a responsibility to preach it in such a fashion that I don't get in the way of the message of God's word. That I present it as God would have it presented, but so that you can be able to understand it, and that all of us can allow God's word to correct us, to guide us, and to direct us. Tonight, I want to talk about, are you trying to hide from God? For just a minute or two, I'd like to make you think a little bit about hiding. When I was a child, my favorite game was hide and seek. The reason why I liked it so much was, I know it's hard to believe, but when I was a little boy, I was small for my age, really thin, and I won playing hide or seek most of the time. Because I could climb like a monkey up into the tops of the tree and people wouldn't think I was that high up in the tree. Or I could be able to go get in the bottom drawer of my sister's chest of drawers. People would never think about looking in my sister's room for me. You see, I understood what it meant to hide, and I was really good at it. But you see, that was a game. But today, it's not a game. We have a lot of politicians who are trying to hide something in their past. Many of them have some, quote, skeletons in their closet. They don't want people to know about them. There are times when hiding is appropriate. You remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it talked about Moses. When he was born, he was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they didn't fear the king's command. Or if you'll think back with me, when Saul was hunting down David like an animal, Jonathan told him in 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 2, he said, "My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard till the morning and stay in a secret place and hide." That's okay. Somebody's trying to kill you. It's all right to hide. I presume you have heard the news about last Sunday morning at the Burnett Chapel congregation in Nashville. How that a man came into an assembly just like we are right now. And he began to shoot people. And if someone were to come through the back door and I saw that they had a gun, I'd say, hide. If you could step into a room and avoid some sort of danger, there's nothing wrong with hiding to avoid danger. We're not hiding from God. Or really more accurately, to think that you can hide from God. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 15, woe to those who seek to hide deep their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? The idea there is that there are people who don't want even God to know what they're doing and what they're planning. Of course, you know that that's really not successful, fruitful. In fact, when the children of Israel were going to possess the promised land, and they came, there were 2.5 tribes who wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. And they went to Joshua and they said, you know, we want to stay over here. To Moses, we want to stay over here. And Moses said, okay, that's all right. But you've got to go and help us take the rest of the land. And he said, if we fight to take your land, if you don't go help us, Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. God knows what your intents are. God knows what you're going to do. So for a few minutes, very simple ideas. Why do men want to hide? Number two, when I go to the Bible, who are some people who tried to hide from God, and why were they doing that? And it's really just a survey through the Bible of people who are trying to hide. And then number three, what are some lessons that you and I can draw from the Scriptures about our trying to hide from God? And when we get through, you're obviously going to say, I already know the answer to the conclusion is man cannot hide from God. And yet, we sometimes try to. Let's begin, first of all, with why do men want to hide? You see, the truth is that if I ask you some questions that are really generic, most of us are okay with that. But if I look at you and point out something that is personal, something that is direct, and some of the things that I'm going to bring up in just a few moments may make some of us feel uncomfortable. It may make some of us feel like this lesson is intruding into my privacy. People try to hide because they fear the consequences of being found out. For instance, if a man steals something, he wants to hide it so no one knows he stole it. I remember a few years ago, we had a man come in to conduct a gospel meeting for us. And we wanted to be able to go and make a television commercial to air on Channel 6 in McMinnville to advertise our gospel meeting. We got there and he was just really disturbed. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, it's been a very bad week. He said, we found out that one of our deacons has been stealing the contribution. He said he would stand at the back and offer to take the contribution tray up to the nursery, which was on the second floor. And said for just some reason, we began to notice that every Sunday that he was here and did that, the contribution was about $400 to $500 less. They had a little balloon closet about halfway up the stairwell. And so one of the elders in that service stood in the stairwell closet. And this man came up. He was taking his hand and taking cash out of the tray, stuffing it in his pockets. The elder stepped out of the little closet and he said, brother, what are you doing? And then he began to bend over and said, oh, I've got a terrible stomachache. I've got to run to the bathroom. And he ran to the bathroom and they followed him in there and he was trying to flush the cash down the toilet. He was trying to hide what he was doing. finally, this man had admitted he had taken thousands of dollars of the Lord's money. What was he trying to hide? If it's found out, he could no longer serve as a deacon. Or if found out, then he would have to, he hadn't even told his wife, he had hidden it from her as well. She just knew they were doing very well financially. Sometimes people want to hide other things. You have people who are committing affairs. They're having an illicit sexual connection with somebody that's not their husband, not their wife. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 through 35, Solomon gives a picture of that. He says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, and he will not be appeased, though you give him many gifts. It seems as if you, each of us know the situation that happened. There was a young man several years ago, not far from here, who had committed adultery with a woman. Since he was from another town, he was really looking for some encouragement. So he came to the office and he says, let me tell you what happened. He said, I committed adultery with this woman, and afterward I realized I had made a mistake. But he said, I didn't know what to do, so he said, I tried to keep it quiet. But she told her husband, and the husband came looking for him. Just what Solomon describes here. And though he was not going to be appeased, jealousy is a husband's fury. The young man was at the insurance office, and the husband spotted him there. He was coming after him. He knew he was going to beat him up. That young man said, what I did, I jumped on top of one of the filing cabinets, pushed the ceiling tile out, climbed up into the ceiling, and not even the people in the insurance company knew exactly where he had gone. He said, after I knew he was gone, I climbed out. He was hiding. Why was he hiding? The consequences of his actions. Sometimes we even hide our feelings toward people in what we say. You say, what do you mean by that? I know you know Proverbs 23, verse 7, where he says, for as a man thinks in himself, so is he. You may not remember the rest of that verse. Eat and drink, says he, but his heart is not with you. Eat and drink, he said, but he doesn't want you to eat and drink. In Proverbs 26, verses 25 and 26, when he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. What he'll do, he'll tell you, oh, you're my friend. Have any of you ever had somebody speak kindly to you only to realize they're just stabbing you in the back? That's what Solomon speaks about. Sometimes people don't want to tell you how they really feel about you, what they really think about you, because they're wanting something from you. They're not going to tell the truth. They're not going to reveal it because of the consequences. People sometimes try to hide their sinful behavior. One of the best illustrations I can think of that is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27 and verse 15. And Moses is contemplating what a person might do, and he says, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of men's hands, and sets it up in secret. Do you know what some people would do? they would have an idol in their house in secret and claim to be one of God's people. A molded image, a carved image. Why don't you tell people you believe in that? I'm not going to do that. People will look at me and say, why are you doing that? Sometimes we even conceal our motives for things. Do you remember the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8? How that they brought her to Jesus and they said, we caught this woman in the very act. What should be done with her? Remember, Jesus wrote on the ground. And when they pressed him, they demanded, we've got to know, what do you say we ought to do with this woman? He said, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And they began to go away from the oldest even to the youngest. You know why? Their conscience. Their conscience. Sometimes people have an ulterior motive. They don't want to reveal it. I know you know about Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. And sometimes we want to hide from our responsibilities. There was the man who had five talents, the man who had two talents, and the man who had one talent. The man who had five talents, he was told to go and to use it. And what did he do? He doubled it, made five more, had 10 talents. What about the two-talent man? He didn't have as much, but he still had two. He doubled what he had and used it. But do you remember about the one-talent man, Matthew 25, verse 25? He said, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, what you have is yours. I hid it. Sometimes we are trying to run from our responsibilities. We're trying to hide from them. The truth is that you and I sometimes allow ourselves to want to hide because of the consequences. Because we don't reveal who we are and what we are. Well now, if that's true, and it is, number two, who tried to hide from God and what was the results of it? And if I begin in the book of Genesis, you obviously will probably think about Adam and Eve. And you'll remember that as Adam and Eve had eaten of that forbidden fruit, and they were in the garden, and God came walking through, and he called out to Adam, and he said, where are you? And here's his response, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and was afraid, and I was naked, and I hid myself. I hid myself. Now here's the obvious lesson to observe from that is, here is God. Does God know where Adam is? Absolutely he knows where Adam is. Adam said, well, I was naked. God's question is, who told you you were naked? Are you hiding something from me, Adam? Are you hiding the fact that you have eaten of that forbidden fruit? The question was to draw out of Adam an admission of what he had done. I often think about these people who are put before an interrogator. I watched a little bit of the 2020 episode about the Holly Bobo case this past week. And how those young men were put through an interrogation. Tell us what you did. Tell us when you did it. What you heard. What you saw. Obviously, they try to hide it, but they were found out. Was it just Adam? It doesn't take very long. You go through and you come to the book of Joshua. And if you'll remember, the children of Israel were told to go and take the city of Jericho. All of our kids can tell you about marching and encircling the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, on the seventh day, seven times. And then the walls fell and the children of Israel went straight in. What you may not remember is the fact that God had said, this city is devoted. That is, it was set aside, everything in it was devoted to God. It was nothing for man. But there was a man by the name of Achan who stole some of that from God. When the children of Israel went up to fight against the city of Ai, they were defeated soundly. Joshua and the rest of the leaders, what's going on? What? They're seeing the camp. They finally come to Achan, and here's what he says to them in Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 through 22. He said, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel in what I have done. When I saw the spoils, among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent. Why did he hide it? It's just like an embezzler. They try to hide what they've stolen. You see, the truth is, though, Achan was found out by God. Hiding didn't work. Let me tell you something else, though. In this case, the hiding of Achan not only hurt Achan, but it hurt those men who went to fight up against the city of Ai. Sometimes our trying to hide makes other people answer for our own sins and our own crimes. How many of you have ever done something as a child and somebody else get blamed and you kept hiding from it? I can plead guilty to that. I let others take punishments that I deserved. But you know what? Achan was found out. Or you go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. One of the darkest days in the reign of David, the king of Israel. David was a man who started out with so much from God, so much potential. But what occurred was, as David saw Bathsheba bathing from the roof of his house, you all know the story of David's adultery. And I'm sure you know how David attempted to cover the consequences of his actions. Bathsheba was with child and tried to bring Uriah in to have Uriah go into his wife. He wouldn't do it. In fact, you go to verses 11 through 9, verse 13. You see all the efforts that he put forth, but then when Uriah would not cooperate, David sends Uriah to the very front of the battle, the heat of the battle, and then has everybody withdraw from him, and Uriah is killed. David evidently thought he'd gotten away with it. But you remember Nathan the prophet, how Nathan came in and told him the parable about a man with one little ewe lamb, and he treated it just like it was one of his children. And this rich man who had so much came, he had a visitor and said, look, I'm going to take this man's one little ewe lamb. I'm going to sacrifice it. Or not sacrifice it, I'm going to kill it for the benefit of those visiting me. And David was incensed. And Nathan said to him, you are the man. David was smitten with humility. I want you to listen to David as he writes in Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5, you can hear the pain in his voice. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in those in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now listen carefully. When I was silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned to the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I have not hidden my My iniquity I've not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Do you hear the pain in David's voice? As David says, God, you found me. I tried to hide. I want to tell you, from the perspective of someone who has counseled with people regarding a number of sins, I've counseled people who've been involved in adultery. I've counseled people who've been involved in pornography. I've counseled people who've been doing drugs. People who are closet alcoholics. And you know what is a common factor among all of them? Their conscience smites them greatly. They know the difference between right and wrong, and like David here, the trying to hide it is not nearly as easy as they think. As I go on through to the prophets, I come to Jonah. You all know about Jonah. Jonah 1, verse 3, he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. God had told him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out. And he went the opposite direction and went down to get on the ship. And he thought, well, I can just get away from God and get away from my responsibilities. And you know, God prepared a great fish. That great fish swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah found out you can't hide from God. There's no place where you can go. You can't ascend to the heavens above. You can't go to the depths beneath. No place that man can hide from God. I've got to speed this up. You go to the New Testament. And I think it's interesting to think about Judas. For a while, Judas kept his theft away from others very well. In fact, if you get to John chapter 12 in verses 4 through 6, you have the anointing of Jesus' body and the giving of this beautiful alabaster cruise ointment. And Judas, as well as actually the other apostles as well, are complaining about the amount of money that this cost. If you'll notice verses 4 through 6, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was not this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Now you think about that. Here is one of the 12 apostles, and there were people providing money for Jesus and his disciples to have food to eat and things such as that. Here is this ointment, almost a year's wages. And he's saying, well, we need to sell that. You go to chapter 13, verses 26 through 29. Jesus tells Judas, he says, whatever you're doing, do it quickly. And the rest of the disciples thought that he was saying, you know, take and go buy something or give something for the poor. You see, Judas had an opportunity to be able to hide. But you know what? God knew that he was stealing. Jesus knew he was stealing. He may have thought he was hiding it. He wasn't hiding it. John the Apostle records it. You know it, just like everybody else knew. The early church gets started. There's some real generous people in the early church. You know about Barnabas. Barnabas took money and he had a piece of land. He sold it, came and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I am sure that because of Barnabas' encouragement, there's perhaps a lot of other people who said, hey, you know what? There's a need. I'm going to try to help this need. And there was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They had a piece of land, they had bought it, and they sold it and brought the proceeds, part of it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But they hid the fact that they didn't give it all. When they lied about this, Peter's response is, "You've not lied to men, but you've lied to God." And he goes on to point out, when you own that land, you could have kept it if you wanted to. No one forced you to sell it and give it. When you brought that money, you didn't have to say you gave it all. You could say, "This is what we want to give." The problem is they were trying to hide the truth. You do know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, don't you? They fell dead before the Lord, and great fear came upon all the church. One more, and then I'm going to move to some principles real quick. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17 is a picture of what happens when men expect the wrath of God to come upon them. He said that the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men and the commanders and the mighty men and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for a great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" They said, "Hide us." You do know there's no place to hide from God. When the trumpet sounds and our Lord descends, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 and following, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and you know what? No time to hide. No place to hide. Well, I just want to run and tap. Psalms 90, verse 8. He said, "You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of your countenance." Job 34, verse 21, "For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his steps." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, "For God will bring every evil work," or every work, "into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or evil." Jeremiah 23, verse 24, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, says the Lord?" Daniel 2, verse 22, "He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." Mark 4, verse 22, "There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed, nor anything that has been kept secret that will not be brought to light." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes with whom we must give account." I could multiply that many, many times over. I like the old song that we used to sing when I was a kid. "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." You see, God tonight sees not only where we're at, who's here, what we're doing, but you see, God is even able to look down in each and every one of our hearts. He's able to see the thoughts and the intents. Why are we here? What are we going to do? Listen to Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You know, here's our problem. We, like so many of the people we've discussed tonight, want to pick up the rug and we want to sweep the dirt up under the rug and no one is seen. Another little pile of dirt comes and we sweep it under the rug, and now we've got a rug that has it humping in about that high. And we think, maybe nobody will notice. Truth is, I may not notice. Your brothers and sisters may not notice. But God does. And after all, He's the only one that really counts. He knows tonight your heart. And I'd like to encourage you, if you've been trying to hide from God, to realize that won't work. Never has, never will. And let me encourage you tonight to think about the fact is your sins will find you out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in this life. But I can assure you, when you stand before the God of heaven, every secret thing, every deed will be brought before God, with the exception of certain ones. You know which ones those are? The ones that God has blotted out of His book. You see what He will do? If you become a Christian, your sins, those things that you have done in the past, you know what God will do? According to Hebrews chapters 8 and 9, those sins and those iniquities I will remember no more. And get rid of them. That's the reason why we urge people to become a Christian, because you can have all your past sins forgiven. A clean conscience. I don't know if everybody here is a Christian, or some of you might not be, but let me urge you tonight, nothing more important to you than taking care of your spiritual soul. And the truth is, there may be sin in your life as those of us who are Christians, and nobody here may know about it. Not a one. But God does. And James 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.